Halloween is over, and it's now time for the spookiest time of the year, the time of endless Mariah Carey songs, of constant family pressure, of a nearly doubled suicide rate, of creepy old men breaking into your house, and of all those people saying that you can't celebrate your holiday, but must celebrate their own holiday. That's right, it's the holiday season. Ooh, so scary. And to celebrate this scary time of year, we at the Paleobites Patreon are discussing the scariest dinosaur movie of all time, Corpse Bride. Now, how is that a dinosaur movie, you might ask? Well, it is about a fossil, is it not? Like the mummified Borealpelta corpse that we found. It's basically that, but Tim Burton, and stop motion, and spooky. I think it counts. Anyways, link is in the description for you can get this bonus Paleobites Patreon content. Thank you for your support and have a spooky day!
Roar! Growl! Snarl! Bellow!
Welcome to Paleobites, the podcast that'll crash and burn like the meteor hitting the Yucatan. My name is Matthew Dahl, and each week I and a rotating series of guest co-hosts talk about and rate a genus of prehistoric animal, be it dinosaur, mammal, arthropod, and so on. This week I'm joined by fellow dinosaur connoisseur, paleontological
enthusiast.
Enthusiast. I was trying to come up with a P word, but he didn't want to come up with pariah. I'm like, that's not right.
Not quite.
It's Stephen Caro. How are you?
Hello. I'm good. Happy to be here.
Yes. After some technical difficulties, as per norm with the show. So this is take two of this episode, but we'll make it fun. We'll figure out a way to make it fun. So, but dinosaur-related question, and this is one I've actually been thinking about asking you for a while.
Oh.
And it's specific to you, I guess. What got you interested in dinosaurs initially?
Well, I think it was a mix between Jurassic Park,
yes,
like many kids,
yes,
and also Dinotopia.
Yes. Oh, that was pretty good.
When I was in first grade, my mom gave me Dinotopia and Dinotopia, The World Beneath.
Ah, oh, so
and
good.
I still have those two books. They're all beat up, but yeah, you know, they're well loved.
I'm particularly a fan of The World Beneath. That one, I mean, the first one's good, but like The World Beneath is cool.
Well, that's where it gets more interesting with different technology and whatnot.
Yeah, yeah, different technology just expands each book expands the lore a bit more, and I'm really sad that it looks like it's over. Like,
yeah, it's
like James Gurney is still active on like social media and other stuff, but like he doesn't really. I think he's retired.
I actually wrote him a letter back when I was at UNC asking,
yeah,
if he would write a book about Outer Island, and he said Dinotopia is always in the back of his mind, but he wasn't focusing on it at that time, and that was like 10 years ago.
That's the thing. So, I mean, it's such a passion project for him that whenever we do get one, it will be from the heart.
Right.
Like Journey to Shandara came out like 10 years after the last one, and you could tell like that was just, he had some great ideas and he went for it. So he still have one more, but just whenever he wants to.
Makes sense.
And I would just love to see his new takes on some new dinosaurs. Like,
oh, right. There's been so many discoveries since,
yeah,
Shandara.
Like, let's see. I'm trying to think of one that would be interesting. Like, the, I mean, in terms of like shapes,
he'd have to put in Dracorex.
Dracorex.
How could he not?
Dracorex and Stegomog. Just show his stance on that. Put in that one. What was that one? There was an ankylosaur. I keep forgetting. There's this ankylosaur they found in Asia that was like a turtle that was a semi-aquatic. I need to find the name of this one.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, so that could be cool. I know they could throw in a Leviathan in the around the ocean.
Oh, yeah. That's also true.
Yeah, or like
maybe, what is it called? Like Diabloceratops?
Diabloceratops, that could be cool. Or like Regaliceratops. I think you do go with that because the one with the it looks like the crown.
He does look like Ogthar.
Yeah.
Kind
of. Oh, that's true, yeah. It's true. There's a lot of good ceratops they found recently. What was... of course, Stegoros. That one would be good. How, because like talk about like using that one as a weapon, like that tail. But Dinotopia is so peaceful. What would Stegoros do? You know, how would they use it?
It'd be like a bushwhacker.
Yeah, it could do like, or could it just be adorned with
in,
like.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, in the other books, there was a couple of spin-off books that were authorized by, what was the author's name?
James Gurney.
Not James Gurney. Scott
Simpson.
Yeah, I think he wrote a couple, and they go to Outer Island, and it's like incredibly thick jungle.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know if James Gurney would stick with that. But
I think those are kind of like semi-canon. Like, they're canon until told otherwise.
Right.
Because like the Journey to Shandara map included a lot of the... Because that map is so much more detailed than the other ones.
It has lots of other stuff from the other side.
From
books,
the other books, yeah.
Which is pretty cool.
Yeah, so...
That he included them in there.
Yeah, nothing from the show, though, but...
That's true. The show is... He doesn't talk about the show.
I mean, I like parts of the show. Like,
I absolutely adore it, even if it's different.
The special effects do not hold up.
They were good at the time.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen it recently. I'm just like, oh. Like, early 2000s made for TV CGI. Like,
it is kind of annoying that the Sunstones
that
are way different from the Sunstones in the book.
It's true. They're real MacGuffins in that rather than like... than in the books, where they're just kind of, what do they do in the books? The movie and they're so important, but
they're a power source in the books too. But they look like there really is a rock called Sunstone, and in the book they look like more of the real Sunstone, mm-hmm. except glows a little. Whereas in the movie, it's like really they're pretty shiny,
and they're like magical. They repel like predators,
and they keep the predators away.
Yeah, so.
Which is fun, but not what Gurney did. Anyway.
Anyways, we digress. So on that note, they could throw in some Neanderthals in there, right? And speaking of which.
You know, that would be a different twist.
We're talking about the Homo Neanderthalensis, or Neanderthals, named after the Neanderthal Valley in Germany, where their first identified specimens were found. Type is a hominine, a group of great apes originating from Africa that includes chimpanzees, gorillas, bonobos, and humans.
Mm-hmm. These guys were some of our closest relatives ever.
But not our direct ancestors.
Oh, that's right.
Yes.
That's a very important misconception.
Yes. Size 5.5 feet, slash 1.5 to 1.7 meters tall, 146 to 171 pounds, 66 to 78 kilograms. Since they're so close to humans, we can actually use body mass index calculations on them.
Which is crazy.
So the average weight based on a sample of over 2 dozen specimens, so their typical BMI was around 27 to 28, which is actually overweight for modern humans. But since they lived in the bleakest parts of the Ice Age, unless weren't exactly living in the height of luxury,
that must
have meant they were just more robustly built.
Yes.
But then again, most nutritionists say now that BMI is bullcrap. But according to it, I'm obese. Like, not even overweight, just obese.
I wouldn't call it.
Like, I'm definitely overweight, but I don't know if I'm obese.
Nah, I think that they're exaggerating.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe when I'm thinking of obese, I'm thinking of, like, morbidly obese, where it's like...
That is what you generally think of.
But I guess I could be considered obese.
Maybe you're just secretly a Neanderthal and you're not telling me.
I am pretty hairy. So... diet omnivore, like me. And unlike you, I guess I should say. So maybe I am a Neanderthal. Time, late Pleistocene, 500,000 to 40,000 years ago. Yeah, they didn't last long. Location, all throughout Eurasia. It was described in 1864, although I guess described is one thing because our early Homo sapien ancestors did encounter them. So,
right. So, described scientifically for the first time.
Pop culture appearances, many different caveman documentaries, but most notably in Walking with Beasts, which I thought was pretty cool because they used actors there. Oh, they should have used actors for the Australopithecus, I reckon, because they look kind of weird being CGI.
I did see Walking with Cavemen.
Yes, that's another one they did.
Right, they used actors for all of those.
Yeah, that makes sense. Because, like, you can have them look like the Planet of the Apes apes or, like, the apes in 2001 A Space Odyssey. It looks more fitting, like, for... I don't know why they use CGI for the Australopithecus.
I guess because they just... They're trying to... It's the trend. It's what they do.
I guess they're trying to make it mix with the other animals, I guess, to show that they were still like other animals. Maybe.
Still more apish than humanish. Yeah, I guess that makes sense.
I think this is a really cool fun fact. For the soundtrack for Walking with Beasts, most of the time it's just instrumental. In the Australopithecus episode, there's some vocals for the first time, but it's not like anything... Like, right. It's not like anything chanting. It's just... You know, just to show there's something happening here.
This is the dawn of mankind.
And then when the Ice Age episode, when you do see Neanderthals and you see humans, there's chanting in the soundtrack.
That's so cool.
Yeah, so.
I really must hunt it down and watch it.
Oh, it's so good. So good. It's my favorite of the Walking With trilogy, I think.
That's high praise.
Yes. Also, apparently they are in the movie The Croods. The Croods are Neanderthals, although Ryan Reynolds' character is a modern human.
Right, right.
But, man, I really don't like those movies.
I know I still haven't seen it myself, but as I understand, it's a lot of weird made-up creatures rather than actual dinosaurs.
Which I guess is, well, not just dinosaurs, just not even like real animals. There's like spider dogs or like squirrels with two heads or like owl cats.
Did you say a squirrel with two heads?
Yeah. One on each side.
Oh, that's even weirder. No.
So like there's like a front on one end and a front on the other.
It's very disturbing.
Yeah. And like, I'm just like, okay, I get it. It's an anime movie. You can do whatever you want. Like, some of them are cool designs. Like, the owl cat looks actually pretty cool.
Okay.
But they're cavemen. You'd had the chance to use prehistoric animals, and you deliberately did not take that chance.
That's abominable.
It was like, I'm suffering from prehistoric animal withdrawal watching those movies. Evolution of humanity is not a simple line. That whole mural of ape walking up on its legs and becoming man is greatly misleading, as it's not really how evolution works. Like, most of the creatures leading up to man are still around, like monkeys and apes in particular, because evolution is not a line, it's a branch.
Right.
And some branches last longer than others. In some way shorter.
I've gotten into debates with some people who are not into the theory of evolution. And they tell me, you can't show me one in-between animal. I'm like, yeah, have you heard of Australopithecus?
Yeah. To be fair, the way evolution works, literally everything's an in-between animal.
That's also true. We are probably, assuming we survive long enough, we are in between something else.
The thing about humanity that's different from other animals, though, is that we don't change to fit the environment. We've changed the environment to fit us.
That's true.
So we might not evolve because of that.
How weird is that?
Yeah. We could. I mean, like, maybe. Again, like, it all depends on, like, what's considered attractive, like, and what's considered a certain way. I mean, I guess one way I think we're going to evolve, and this is what a lot of racists are really afraid of, is that once globalization becomes more common, we'll all just be like a slightly darker shade of like almond brown.
No, you're probably right. Like,
we'll
honestly,
all just be, I mean, the same kind of brownish color.
I've heard that, just statistically speaking, the population of white people overall is decreasing. And
yay!
You know, that's just the way it is.
I heard this really bad joke from this comedian I saw on TikTok, where he was talking about, he was this black comedian, and he had this really dark joke about, like,
oh no.
He said, like, y'all think Jesus was white, and here's how I know Jesus wasn't white. If he was white, he would have gotten off with a warning.
Oh.
Like, he was nailed to the cross. So.
Oh, ouch.
Just like, oh my God.
That's one way to put it.
Anyways. These were not in the line, like I said earlier, leading up to modern human evolution. As both Homo sapiens and Homo neanderthalus both evolved from Homo erectus, we've done an episode on previously, that went to Europe, while Homo sapiens evolved from Homo erectus that stayed in Africa. Mm-hmm. So, the Homo erectus went to Europe, became Neanderthals, went to Africa.
I think it's been so far concluded that Neanderthals are older than humans, but again, we did not directly spring from them.
Yes. Like I said, that's 500,000 years ago, and right now, although it does keep going further back, right now, it's 200,000 or 300,000 years ago as Homo sapiens.
I've heard 300,000 is the highest estimate so far.
And 290,000 years of that is just us being hunter-gatherers. That's crazy.
Us just fighting wild animals and trying to figure out how to
get our next meal. Agriculture didn't happen until about 10 or 9,000 years ago. It's
so wild to think about.
It is.
What are we doing?
Like, it took us that long to realize that we could put our plants. I mean, I guess with the Ice Age, primer frost, it made it difficult.
That's true.
And then again, it could be something like in the classic documentary 10,000 BC, where there's a civilization that just got wiped out that we don't know about. So Neanderthals are our cousins rather than our ancestors.
Yes, that is a better way to put it.
So, as a species of human that lived in Europe during the Ice Age, Neanderthals had many adaptations to the cold that modern humans lack, such as large noses built for inhaling colder air. Mm-hmm.
I know that they had a cranial ridge.
They did have a cranial ridge that helped protect their brain, I think, from like impact. They're built for like tough lives. They had stockier bodies, thicker bones. They were hairier as well, while still maintaining the relative hairlessness first evolved by their Homo erectus ancestors. The human family as a whole, I heard this recently, lost their body hair about 1 million years ago compared to chimps. And evidence for this is due to the evidence of lice found in human fossils, which transitioned from body lice to head lice, and there's no pleasant way to say this, pubic lice.
Oh dear!
Around this time, poor cave people.
Talk about a hard life.
Maybe that's the reason we've developed clothes. Like, keep the lice out.
I've often wondered. Like,
I mean, I thought it was because the Ice Age happened. We just trying to keep warm. But then, like, why did we lose the fur to begin with? You know?
Yeah, there must have been some. You think that we would keep the fur if the climate was changing. But then again, if they were far enough south, it wouldn't have mattered as much.
That's why I think it makes sense. Because having clothes, especially in nature, if you sit down on a rock on your bare butt cheeks, that
it's
hurts.
Not going to be comfortable.
No, it hurts. But then, so you're like, oh yeah, I'm going to put on clothes to fix that. But then why would you have bare butt cheeks in the first place? So
maybe, I'm just speculating, maybe there was a disease or something.
Yeah, but it somehow made it work. But that's why I think, yeah, it makes sense that Homo erectus that lived in tropical Africa, they didn't have to worry about it as much.
Right.
And they were still probably hairier than we are now.
Oh, yeah.
I'm assuming we got less and less hairy the more time we start wearing clothes.
That probably also is part of it. I mean, if you're not getting a regular haircut, you're mm-hmm. still going to be somewhat hairy.
Oh, yeah. You'd have razors and other stuff.
It's interesting to note, many indigenous cultures around the world pre-contact to Westerners, they did not wear clothes or very little at all. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. It's humanity was naked for a long period of its time.
It's how God intended it. But I like saying that, even though I'm not really religious. It's just funny. But Neanderthals did have hard lives, though, even if they didn't, if they went past the pubic lice issue, with about 80% dying before the age of 40. They did have quite the culture, though, with quite sophisticated technology for the time, including industry of stone tools, fire adhesives, clothing, seafaring across the Mediterranean.
Which is just crazy to think about.
Medicine, cooking, and food storage, which I wonder, like, food storage, does that mean, like, do they have, like, primitive versions of, like, ice boxes?
Maybe an icebox or a larder of some sort.
Yeah, like
it's just it makes me, like, I want to clear up the misconception that they're dumb brutes. There are so many books and movies where they're portrayed as idiots and primitive. No, these were smart people.
I think when, like, I talk about this with Lexi, because, like, when you think of, like, the stereotypical caveman, it's like, you ugh, me ugh.
Yes, exactly.
But that's actually more Homo erectus, I think.
Probably.
Because we think that their language was much more primitive, more like simple grunts. Language didn't first really start until, like, I think both Homo sapiens and Homo neanderthalus developed it more independently with each other. So the more stereotypical caveman isn't Homo neanderthalus, it's Homo erectus.
There are several books that I have read that guess or suggest that Neanderthals couldn't speak very well, so, like, they had sign language, or they had, like, you know, very raspy voices, or were telepathic.
That'd be cool.
Which would be really cool. So it's, that is also an inaccuracy. There's no reason for us to believe that they couldn't speak.
Well, like, I mean, like, that's the thing. People have said that if you put a Neanderthal in modern clothes and put him in the modern day, people would just think he was just a normal human. Maybe just a little bit weird looking with the big nose.
Right.
But,
big nose, big head, but otherwise.
But, like, yeah, he could get away with being just a human, you know. But as well as all that technology, they had culture mm-hmm. with not just the cave paintings. Those are famous, but them. But also ornament crafting, weaving of feather, claw, and shells, musical instruments such as flutes and drums.
Which is really cool.
And even evidence of religious beliefs.
Yes, yes.
Like, these were people, like people.
People, even though they were a somewhat different species. Like, yeah. There's even, I talked about this in the previous edit, there's a cave that they found in mm-hmm. Europe with a whole array of bear skulls. And apparently, the way the skulls were arranged suggests that it was arranged for a ritualistic purpose rather than just they piled a bunch of dead bodies in there. So
I like to think they used them, like, with, as the thing with their drums, like boop boop boop, sort of like the Ewoks banging on stormtrooper helmets. And,
maybe, you know, maybe, I don't know.
Like, I don't know. I've always liked the Ewoks. I don't know why people get crap on the
Ewoks. The Ewoks are adorable. They're adorable. How could you pick on the Ewoks?
And also, it shows that anyone can fight the Empire if given enough. Like, they took down some AT-STs. I mean, they did it in realistic ways. Like, they still struggled, but they used ropes, they used logs, right.
Guerrilla tactic.
So, anyways, on that note, the population of Neanderthals always remained small due to harmful gene variants, competition with modern humans, and adaptations to the cold, rendering them unable to survive when things got warmer. And so they went, and although there's a lot of Neanderthal DNA still in a lot of people.
which is crazy. Yeah.
So I guess there was some intermingling.
There's a lot of evidence that there was intermingling, and apparently, there's theories that the gene that causes red hair came from Neanderthals.
Makes sense.
And there's also evidence that some people who have specific Neanderthal genes are more susceptible to COVID.
Oh, I guess it makes sense. Harmful gene variants eventually. Right, who would have thought with COVID would come into the picture here? But then, like, I actually did not put this in this, but I just remembered this now, so this wasn't the previous either. Because normally you can't breed with someone of a different species, or at least you can, but you can't. The hybrid can't breed.
Right.
Further.
Often.
There's people suggesting that Homo Neanderthalus is actually Homo sapiens Neanderthalus, a subspecies rather, and then we're Homo sapiens sapiens.
Right. So, I've heard that debate as well, and it could be because they are so similar.
And we both evolved from Homo erectus. So.
Right. So maybe we are just the same subspecies.
So there was like Homo erectus, then like Homo sapiens primus or whatever, like the original one, and then that evolved into Homo sapiens sapiens. Homo sapiens.
I don't know how scientists figured this out, but some scientists say that if there was a male Neanderthal and a female Homo sapiens, their child would be fertile.
Okay.
As the other way around, with a female Neanderthal and a male Homo sapiens, the child is less likely to be fertile. And I have no idea where they determined that, but I have read.
Is that just that. That's just weird. That just is weird for me to think about, because Neanderthals are so much bigger and stronger. So having a big, strong man against a smaller woman, that seems problematic. Neanderthals, get your crap together. don't be predatory.
Oh God. One really exciting development that they've had with Neanderthals is that they found an entire clan. Like, until now, we found, like, you know, a few skeletons here and there. But they found an entire clan held up in a cave in Siberia.
Yeah, it was really cool. Apparently, this happened really recently. Like, this happened in, this article about it came out in October 20th, 2022. So, I'm recording this in early November, but it'll probably come out a little bit later. But yeah, so that's a whole family. That's pretty cool. Like, a real sense of community to it. I guess they could find out genetically. That they're all related.
They did.
Yeah. It says including a father and his teenage daughter.
So, I mean, unfortunately, it appears that there was a bad storm or something and
they all died.
So that's tragic. But, I mean, it gives us insight into how they lived.
Yeah, exactly. It was a show, just once more, it was a really hard life for them because, like, they could just, you know, get killed by... It could have been they couldn't leave the cave because of the storm and they might have starved to death.
Right.
Or they could have just... A violent storm could have just froze them. I don't know. Who knew?
But, you know, like, if they find a few more discoveries like this, then that could give us a really solid look into their culture.
Especially genetically. Like
that, too.
Yeah, like, you could see, like, the DNA and stuff. So that's pretty cool. Oh, man. Let's rate Neanderthals 1 out of 65 million. So, I'm going to give them, like, 56 million, I think.
I was going to give them, like, 50, 55 million. Because, you know, there are underrated cousins.
They are underrated cousins. They're really cool. And they're not as dumb as people think they're. Very smart.
Exactly.
They had really good technology.
Don't listen to Clan of the Cave Bear. They were actually really intelligent.
And in fact, I'd probably argue that, like, I mean, their technology was kind of primitive, but look at ours back then, too.
Right.
I mean, ours was probably worse.
If they had had a chance over the next 100,000 years, maybe they would have developed something like advanced like us.
Who knows? If the Ice Age kept going, like maybe they could have figured out how to do agriculture even in the ice. I'm probably not, but some sort of different sort of way to keep food stored. I mean, they did have food storage.
That's
the
true.
Whole thing with
maybe
agriculture.
Just
the whole
on that.
Benefit of agriculture was having all your food in one place rather than having to hunt and gather for it. So maybe they could have figured out some other way to do that. Hmm. Like having mammoth farms.
There you go. Underground cave, geothermal caves where they grow mushrooms. I don't know.
Yeah. Ooh, I like that.
Okay. There's an alternate history for you.
Well, that's it for this week. If you want to get the whole show and contact me at methanolcreator.com for any general questions to any of the co-hosts, you can find me on social media at methanolcreator on Facebook, at methanol64, everywhere else, which includes Instagram, Twitter, however long it may be with Elon Musk running into the ground. I used to think Elon Musk was cool. And now I'm just like...
You laid off a bunch of people from Twitter. I'm not happy.
No, and it's just like, oh, man. And I know a lot of people who have a lot of relationships professionally with Twitter that are threatened.
That's not good.
Yeah, so, and they're trying to... Like, apparently, this is relevant, I guess, to Paleobites. There's another site called Mastodon. Make that the new Twitter, but it's got a lot of issues with it, too, so...
Oh.
Hold on, let me let me check.
It'd be a good fit for Paleobites if it if there were no issues. That would be fun. Yeah. But yes.
I don't know. We'll see. Anyways.
So what
can they find you? Yes.
Yes.
And what plug you? Let's plug yourself.
I have written a novelette, The Spark, which is available through Heroes Publishing. My work has appeared in a bunch of short stories, short story magazines, and an anthology. You can find out my work at stephenccurro.com. StephenCCurro.com.
Yes, good stuff. I also have a book series on Amazon, Megazoic, available for print and Kindle. No Neanderthals in that. They'd be more likely, but still not, to be in my other book series. Well, there's just one so far, Teslanauts. Mm-hmm. At least temporally speaking, they'd be closer to that than they Megazoic. I also have another podcast called The Ritwit, currently on indefinite hiatus, but may come back soon. You never know.
Stay posted.
Yes, stay posted. Anyways, all right, that's it for this week. It's at the end of every episode of Paleo Bites. Okay, so I know they don't go,
they would just,
I am a Neanderthal.
I will say, Akita, like in one When Dinosaurs Rule the Earth.
Yeah. I'm Batman. Anyways, bye.